Next speaker is Claire O'Dwyer from Deakin University. Claire is the manager of the Faculty of Business and Law Library Services at Deakin University. And she's the manager also of Burwood Campus Library, which has over 60 staff. Claire is going to speak about the topic of Claire's talk is Beyond the Boundary of Library Walls, Dynamic Library Support at Deakin.
So, I'm going to tell a story this afternoon about a new service that we introduced in 2009 at Deakin University Library called Librarians in Residence. I'm going to talk to you about it in the context of a marketing plan because just to give you some idea of what was happening in 2009 at Deakin University, librarians had been removed from the reference desk. So they were no longer sitting at the front line, so to speak. They were sitting in an area, at Burwood in particular, in a room away from the service desk, and they were booking interviews with academics. I had just started at Deakin University. I had a new dean of business and law who was very, very enthusiastic and open to new ideas. And I had also come from a special library background where the service model was not as it is in university libraries, of course, because it's a lot smaller and you're often much up close and personal with your clients. And at the same time in that year, I commenced a master's in arts and entertainment management and had started a unit in arts marketing, which was really about marketing for cultural institutions, of which libraries, of course, are very big players. And so the context of this presentation is looking at the marketing plan for a new service in a library, a different way of doing reference, but a marketing plan that's very customised for cultural institutions, which we are. And we're probably, as I kept marketing libraries within my course, we're probably one of the most dynamic cultural institutions, and we're probably the most least known of being so. So you'll notice in my presentation I'm talking about marketing a new service, different elements of it, and this is really a way to start if you're thinking about changing the way you operate. But I will also be doing some marketing within it, so so just bear with me, I can't help myself. So basically in 2009 a new service began, and the passionate aim that I had was to change the perception of librarians. I think we are a wonderful profession, I think we are incredibly skilled, and I think we are not well known. So I wanted to shift that perception, especially in my faculty. There were some successes already at Deakin, I must add. The library staff already had a wonderful reputation. There was a liaison librarian in science and tech who had already kind of done this sort of thing informally, very successfully built relationships. So we kind of knew it had been done. I knew that I was standing on the shoulder of giants. I was ready to just promote a product that I really had strong faith that it was a very good product, which is librarians. What I identified as a key weakness of the liaison librarian team that I managed was that they were not located physically within the Faculty of Business and Law. And at Burwood campus, we're actually separated. The library building is separated by a creek to the faculty, which makes the distance, they might as well be in another country. They won't. Academics are very reluctant to walk over a creek, and they're very reluctant to leave their offices. And quite frankly, their workloads are so high at the moment, and they're under so much pressure. That was a real barrier. And also, most of our staff, our liaison staff at Burwood, were on a secure access floor, and they were literally, truly out of sight and out of mind. They were not highly profiled on the website. They certainly were not on the faculty intranet pages at all. And in a study by McGuinness in 2006 of university faculty perception of librarians, it revealed that they were not regarded as academic equals, and they do not teach and they do not do research. We don't have PhDs. So it's not not just raising awareness, but you also, one of my key aims was to raise the esteem of librarians within faculty so that we were considered to have credibility. Sorry, Frank, that one's for you. So this service began in the faculty with the Faculty of Business and Law librarians who are standing there. There's been some changes, of course, but because I sit on faculty board, I sit on the business and law research committee, and I walked into my first committee meeting. I think I was the only female around the table, and they said, "What are you doing here, and who are you?" Seriously, that was like, "Who are you, and what are you doing here?" It's like, well, I'm here because the dean said I could come. I didn't really know the answer myself. I was just trying to work out lots of things. So, yes. So that was a very interesting time. But I can tell you right now, since this service has been introduced, the Associate Dean of Research, if I don't go to a meeting, wonders why I'm not there. And we have had... The Librarian Residence Program is so simple, you just laugh. All it is that our staff sit in the faculty. Now, I was sitting on the research committee. The research committee had some issues. Firstly, not enough support for academics in terms of research support. Their research output was terrible, and they had to improve it. And even though they were offering grants and things like that, the academics felt very much under pressure that they didn't have enough time to do everything that's been demanded of them. And so I suggested that perhaps the business librarians, of which we have obviously more than myself, could sit in faculty and be available very easily to academics. And they nearly fell off their seats because they didn't know we existed. And I think they thought I was making it up, actually, at the time. And the Associate Dean thought about that for a while, and this service happened very quickly, and I can tell you right now, this marketing plan you can do very quickly. So this is the kind of marketing plan that you don't need to spend 6 months on. You could do this in, I think, 2 hours, literally. But it really needed some thinking behind the strategy, because for us to step into faculty, you can't just go in, you know, without thinking about exactly what you're going to say and do and where you're going to do it. So, but we were very lucky that I had an Associate Dean Research who said, you know what, this is a good idea, and so did the Dean, and got us real estate. And that's a very big issue in a faculty, is getting the real estate, getting an office in a good location. But I'll talk about that a little bit more down the track. So, what were the marketing goals? And again, these were our marketing goals, but very basic. The major one, and it's a very marketing type thing, and it's so simple, yet it's so hard, is to raise academic staff awareness of the library services. But librarians are far more than people transacting, stamping books. And you might think, well, that's ridiculous. Don't they know what we do? Don't they know who we are? Don't they know that we have several degrees? When we started, one of the first academics who came into the office when we were in faculty said to me, you know, Claire, I was a bit scared because it's like having the ATO, the tax office, come and sit in the faculty. That was his level of fear around librarians. I said to him, I think you've had a bad experience as a child with librarians, because honestly, you know, it was just amazing that not everyone was like that, but, you know, you would get these strange stereotype perception about who we were and what our qualifications were as well. It was quite interesting. I talk about the importance of enhancing the library brand, and I'll talk about that a bit more, but really, you can really enhance and raise your library's profile through every experience. But when you're having very personal experiences with academics one-on-one in person, of course, and you're doing it with a big group of librarians, of course you're raising the profile. But it's a two-edged sword, because if you're prepared to step into that realm, you need to also be very skilled at what you do and know what you're doing and be responsive and know your technology that you're taking in as well. So because you can soon diminish your brand if the experience is bad, and everyone will know that. If you go into any retail and the service is terrible, well, that's probably, you know, you might try one more time, but the brand is diminishing before your very eyes and your perception is also diminishing. So as Kotler in publication in 1998 suggests, part of the marketing strategy is an environmental scan. This is something you can do very quickly and you probably are familiar with, to spot opportunities, threats and emerging trends. And secondly, the other reason to raise profile of your library through your librarians, who are a wonderful resource, is that it ensures the return on investment. And you'll be hearing a bit more about that, I'm sure, in libraries as there's more and more pressure to be accountable. But we want to make sure people are using our dynamic collections, which are incredible, and that we can track that very well and show there's a big return on that collection investment because there is high usage. So that was another goal. But of course, all your strategies and marketing strategies, this one in particular was also closely aligned to the library strategic document and the university's strategic document. I'm not going into that here. I wrote a very big paper on this. So if you can't sleep at night, contact me, I'll send it to you. I just wanted to, this is the Burwood Campus Library, and I just wanted to mention that academic libraries have a very strong brand because according to Weiner 2009, historically they have been associated with, and I quote, an intellectual focal point or heart of the university. And the librarian in residence salient attribute, which is a very marketing term, to brand library. If you consider the library as the brand, the parent brand, librarians and everything we do is the salient attribute. We keep reinforcing that status, that the status that we are the heart of the university in every interaction. And so the additional personalised service that this librarian in residence adds in support of academic staff research is referred to by Hill, O'Sullivan and O'Sullivan in 2003 as a way to increase awareness of a brand in order to expand the audience and reach. So that was the other aim. We were raising awareness, but we were also trying to reach more academics. Business and Law have over 300 and they're across campuses that are both regional, from Warrnambool, Geelong, Burwood. So we were trying to raise awareness and also reach more of them. And academics can be hard to reach. They can be a bit like herding cats. So this is the quick SWOT analysis of the librarian in residence proposed service. So the strengths, I could go on and on and on, but really the service strength included, it was no cost to the faculty, right? They pay research assistants. You know, they're always trying to get money for research assistants, but they didn't have to pay for us. We had 5 full-time librarians with really extensive experience navigating complex databases in law and business, and very strong customer service, and which is still talked about constantly since this program has been running. The weaknesses was not being located, as I mentioned, and low esteem, not regarded as academic equals. And clearly for our site in particular, we were disconnected from the faculty, physically disconnected. SWOT analysis, the strengths and weaknesses refer to, if you're doing this, is the internal factors. And the opportunities and threats are more or less looking at external factors outside the library as described by Kotler. So opportunities were endless, really, but Faculty of Business and Law academics, time poor. The research assistants in the Business and Law faculty are not highly regarded at Deakin, and they're always complaining about them. So we had an opportunity. They were not our competition. In fact, we could, they were the opposite. And there was a strong emphasis for academics to increase their research output. The threats was resistance of academic staff to consider coming to us, to even thinking. The threat was academics didn't really know what can you do for me? Like, what do you do? And that was quite a surprise. And again, library strength. In terms of cultural institutions, amazing dynamic collections. They're online, they're constantly changing. We're using technologies to access them, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. But and when you talk about in the business and law faculty about collection, and you tell them that, you know, we have millions of dollars of collection right here. I've got millions and millions of dollars sitting in my iPad that you can access. Why don't you tell the students? I mean, they are telling them, but when for in business and law, numbers, quantifying things means a lot. The PEST analysis is just something to consider. It looks at the political, economic, social and technical external macroeconomic factors that can impact an organisation. According to Kotler in 2008, a PEST analysis can give direction to strategic planning and priorities, and libraries, according to Weiner in 2009, in future will need to be more accountable and be asked to, and I quote, provide empirical evidence of their value to their parent institution. And so just keeping that in mind in the background when you're thinking about a new service is quite important, because you might have financial pressures, you might have budget cuts looming, or there might be more demand to demonstrate your value. And Librarian in Residence has really been wonderful in demonstrating value, because it's very personalised and they really feel it up close and personal. And I'll talk about our success indicators at the end. At the moment, we're in a bit of an economic downturn, and you know, we might end up with more students coming back into university. So, and also, it's really interesting to think about the technology. When we started the service in 2009, there was one laptop being shared, I think, between 10 librarians, and we used to lug the thing over, and but that was okay. We could work with that. We were mobile, and you know, we could access everything with a laptop and go to academics' rooms with the laptop. I think certainly iPads have given us a big wow factor. These have not been promulgated throughout the staff at the moment, but I'm sure that will happen at some point, because this type of technology, for I personally have found, and the librarians who work in my team have found, is that it changes your behaviour. We used to book meeting times with academics, like you talk about, have you seen that subject guide? You could embed it in your unit, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yeah, I'm really busy. And should I make a time with you for training? Yeah, sure, you know, like as if they don't have enough to do. So that, but when you're sitting in an academic's office and you say, now, I had this experience recently, and I'm not joking, this happened within about a 15-minute time frame. The academic was the course leader for the MBA program. He was also the senior finance lecturer. And he basically said to me straight up that, look, you know, the library is not the most important thing for me. In fact, you know, I've got all these other issues at the moment and you're really not that important. And I said, well, have you seen the finance subject guide? And he's like, what's that? And we showed him. He nearly fell off his seat. We told him how much we could customise it for him, that we would do all the work. He embedded the subject guide in his unit in front of our eyes, and the usage of the subject guide within 2 weeks doubled. That's the power of the technology. I also recommend Purple Cover, because I really love that. it's so shallow. It works. I can't tell you how much that $10 cheap cover worked. But it's the ability to say, to in the moment, you have the opportunity, you have the technology. We actually know more about it than them. and you can say something like that and they embed in front of your eyes because you had the moment. Whereas if I did not have this with me at the time, I would have lost that moment. And I'd already lost him when I'd walked in the door. He was already telling me, you know, you're not that important. You know, he was more or less saying to me at the beginning, like, I'm doing you a favour. But at the end, he was doing, you know, we were doing him the favour. He sent us customisations within an hour. So that was very powerful. So the technology is definitely, from 2009 to now, I think I'm a big fan of the iPad. You don't spend 5 minutes waiting for it to boot up either. So I think Bond University and Macquarie have actually given them to all their frontline staff to walk floors, so that's interesting. So again, in your marketing plan, it's very, faculties can be very overwhelming when you first think about, well, let's step into the faculty. Woo, you know, like, how are we going to do that? And who are we going to talk to? And what are we going to say? So we did sit down and sort of say, okay, who are the stakeholders? And what, how will we communicate with them? It's worth thinking about that. You've got the library. You're coming up with a new service. You have to sell that service within the library. It's not like they're just going to let you out and diminish their brand. They want to know, what are you trying to do? As a faculty manager, I had to also reassure people. I had, there was a lot of fear around stepping out of the library and stepping into the faculty. So I, part of the communication for my role, even though I had librarians who were keen, when the day came, we were doing it, the first day, I had two librarians actually came into my office and said, what are you doing? Like, do you really think, what if this fails? What if this fails? You know, what if you fail? And it's like, I felt scared, they felt scared, but you know, really, what was the worst thing that could happen? They trust us. And the library has a very strong resonant brand. So what we did do in our anxiety was ring every academic we knew on their first day and said, come down to our office, make us look good. So, and they did, so that was good. Internally in the faculty, we had to think about who are the stakeholders. It's not just academics. I'll talk about that. There's a transition audience too, you know, that are sort of moving in and out a bit. And there's the external peer libraries, the literature, what's going on outside. So when you work out your stakeholders, think about your communication plan. And again, these are very basic, but with communication plans, the big question is, why are you doing it? What's your aim? Don't lose sight of it. You know, you really should sit down for those 5 minutes and think, why, what is the aim of this? You know, are we just doing new service because we want to say we're doing new service? But why are you really doing it? So part of our communication, this tool is used in conjunction with the stakeholder map. Both documents together map how important the stakeholders are to the business and law liaison librarians' service, and they're used to try and achieve that marketing original goal, which is to raise awareness. The tools are then used to target stakeholders when communicating. So you might, you think of your key messages and you might think of different ones for different groups. And from our experience, though, we had I had the Associate Dean of Research very much on board and his admin manager, and I never realised how important the admin people were until I found the person in charge of the office accommodation, who the Research Dean had given us a room but had not told her, and she had come by and said, what are you doing? And so we had to quickly tap dance and build relationship. And I also found it was very difficult to identify in faculty who are the admin people and what's their role. And so that's a lesson I certainly learnt from this experience. It's important to let them know, you know, which business librarians were consulting in and where and when and all those things they want to know. I had a great tip from the science and tech liaison librarian who had been doing this type of thing for a while, who said he would email on the day that, you know, Barry is on his way over. Like, that was a very, very powerful thing to do. Getting access to the business law email distribution was probably hard. That probably took a few months. But doing things, simple things like that, like your liaison librarians today are, and they will be here at this time, and alerting, had a very powerful resonance. And often I was not the person going, it was the business librarians, but because I was sending the emails, academics would say, oh, yeah, I know you. It's like, actually, I haven't met you, you've just seen my... It's amazing the power of that type of thing. Just to lighten this up a little bit, I just thought I would show you the Warm Ponds Library had an amazing refurbishment, and that is the stairwell in the new library. These amazing spaces help build librarians' profiles in the faculty too. Unfortunately, academics in business and law don't necessarily come over to library buildings anymore. However, when they do, this really has a big wow factor. It really shows that we are dynamic and far more than just stacks. It's also worth considering thinking about in the cultural marketing realm, they do suggest, according to Nyasch in 2004, that you should have a well-balanced marketing mix. And it's like burning building a fire into the minds of your cultural client. And according to Rentschler in 1999, it must have elements of the seven marketing mix P's. So you might be familiar with this, but in cultural institutions, which include libraries, they are product, price, promotion, place, processes, people, and physical evidence. So in terms of product, according to Mijon in 2004, the product itself has to be able to define the basic value and represent a balance between its client's need and its mission. Price, even though, you know, it was a benefit in many ways to say we're not costing the faculty anything, so that was like a big sell. It can also be, if you are a no-cost service, it can also encourage the false notion that the library has enough resources and lots of funds. So it's kind of, you know, you're free, but there was a line that we drew as in these roles. We were not prepared to do their literature searches. You know, there's certain things like we'll show you how, but we're not actually, you know, going to get you coffee. Not that we ever would. But, you know, there's certain lines. We might be free, but we're not that free. Promotion, place and process, these include email, presenting in committee and board meetings, academic staff testimonials, word of mouth, faculty research, intranet page, postcards, posters, and other marketing takeaways, including library branded lollipops. They're all the things that we did in promoting this service. This service is in person rather than by email or the library website, and that's kind of an interesting concept to be telling you when we're talking about mobile devices. Mobile devices in this environment enhance what we're doing in this new service, but it's actually that in-person relationship with academics that has the most power, because it's very immediate and they know who we are. But it is definitely, without this, we wouldn't be as successful. As McGuinness 2006 argues, faculty and the library partnerships are critical to the success of library marketing goals, such as enhancing academic staff research performance. I don't know at this point in time if we have increased research performance, absolutely, but we have certainly contributed to research performance. And again, this is more marketing. This is the new Warm Ponds Library, and you can see that perception should be changing quite dramatically by this point from the first slide. And this has been a very successful refurbishment because the library had not been refurbished. It was very retro. Somewhere stuck in about 1974, is that right? Now, with any marketing or new service, there is an element of evaluation, because we are constantly evaluating what we're doing in this service and constantly tweaking it and changing it. So I do have regular feedback. I'm with the Associate Dean of Research. In fact, we're gathering stats and we feed that back. I sit on faculty board and I actually talk about the numbers of inquiries we get, the types of things that we're being asked, and comparing it now across the years, and it's trending up. We also record success stories and have asked academics for constant feedback. Annually, the University Librarians meets with the Dean and she meets with the heads of school, and so we have something tangible also about what we do with the faculty, because we have quantitative, qualitative data. We're almost writing a PhD. And that gives us esteem, especially in the business faculty. So what are some of the indicators of the success? The business, we had a 100% increase in the business and law liaison inquiries in the last 12 months. Librarian in residence is the thin end of the wedge. They might be in there once a week. They get a couple of inquiries and then a lot more when they get back to the library. So high uptake. Subject guide usage, that's the lib guides, has increased by about 300% in some business disciplines. We had 68,000 hits over about 11 guides. That's for 2011. And it's amazing, once you raise awareness around those products, which are incredible, they really have strong uptake. And we have had invitations to sit with academics as the only service area, sitting at the table with academics to review courses such as the Bachelor of Commerce, which is the largest undergraduate degree at Deakin, and the Bachelor of Management, Masters of Leadership. I've had staff, the staff member who said, what are we doing? This is like, are you sure about this? Like, are you crazy? Originally in 2009, has co-authored articles with academics, presented at a conference with the Dean, and we're presenting far more lectures as well. So I used to go to faculty board and be completely anonymous, and now I go to faculty board and I get lots of questions at the end. These, I have about 50 references back in this service, but these are the ones in particular, and I'm quite happy to share those with anyone. In particular, McGuinness, what faculty think, exploring the barriers to information literacy development in undergraduate education, I found very valuable. And especially Weiner, the contribution of the library to the reputation of the university is a great article. And I think we have lots more potential in this space. We also were nominated for a faculty award in our first 12 months. We got invited to the big faculty dinner. We were the only group outside of academics at that. We got a lovely, it was very nice. So clearly the library is a key service. When visitor numbers, lending, inquiries continue to climb and students demand more computer space, desks and textbooks, librarian residence enhances these services and cross-promotional opportunities are bountiful, such as the library as an event space for awards, because when you're in residence, suddenly you start getting asked lots of questions, far more than about research, about teaching and learning support. It's about, we're running an event, why don't you do it in the library? You know, like, you can just keep going. The notion that you're not tied to a service point has spread. We've got our frontline staff roving floors, taking eye touches, taking iPads out. Shelvers have eye touches because the barriers are breaking down and you don't have to be in one place anymore when you have technology that's so flexible and you can just give it a try and see what works. We found the eye touches were not fabulous because the screen's very small, but the iPads, the hue level 4s and 5s really liked. And I just thought I'd finish on another beautiful slide of Warm Ponds, just to show that these spaces are not only dynamic like the collection, but they're not the only dynamic elements in our libraries. I think our librarians are the most dynamic. It's time to really let that one shine. So thank you very much. Thank you.
very much, Claire. I think we've got a few minutes before Claire runs away to for questions, if anybody's interested in.
Downside for them, apart from giving us office space. And I might just add that the dean, after a year, gave all the business and law librarians laptops because she wanted us to have more portability, because we were sort of trying to share. She had budget, she wanted to spend it, and we're like, we'll have those. So, yeah, it's great. Yeah, they buy you gifts. It's really good.
Are there any other questions? Okay, so thanks very much, Claire.
Okay.
We've,
thank you.
We've